Here is why Fort Des Moines Church of Christ exists. I can tell you what we're about in sentences. We exist to make and grow followers of Jesus Christ. That's it. And this year, we have a particular focus of bringing in 26 families in this year into our church. And we do this together by being with Jesus, by becoming like Jesus, and by doing what Jesus did. That's what we mean when we say, follow Jesus. Be, become, and do. But those verbs depend on another verb that's very critical. In fact, it is impossible to follow Jesus without this verb. And the verb is here. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, this is what Ryland read at the beginning of our worship service this morning. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Jesus understood you cannot follow a shepherd. You need to hear. And so one Sunday after the pastor was finished with his message, a man came forward and said, Pastor, I desperately need you to pray for my hearing. So the pastor put his hands on the man's ears and he prayed a fervent prayer. And when he was through, he asked the man, how is your hearing? And the man replied, well, how would I know? It's not until next Wednesday down at the courthouse. So when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, how often do you pray for your hearing? I know that some of you pray for my speaking, and I love that. But do you ever ask anyone to pray for your hearing? Do you understand, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have the capacity and the responsibility to hear the voice of the Lord? We're not just expected to talk about God, or even just encouraged to talk to God. We are meant to talk with God. And the good news is, we serve a God who likes to talk. So we're starting this new series that I've called, It's Good to Hear Your Voice. Because you cannot follow a rabbi that you do not hear. And so this is the first message in this series, and we're going to lay some foundational principles, and maybe the most important is this first one. Write it down, that the Bible speaks of a God who speaks. And you have to believe that, because nothing else I'm going to say is going to matter if you don't. The Bible speaks of a God who speaks. And please notice, I did not say the Bible speaks of a God who spoke. And yet many Christians try to follow a God they never expect to hear from. Maybe this illustration will help. In 1897, President McKinley complained that he was getting over 100 letters a day and he could not handle all the correspondence. So they created the Office of Presidential Correspondence. Now today, the White House receives over 10,000 letters and packages a day. And most of them start this way. I know that no one will read this, but someone actually does. There's a whole department dedicated to this. There's a staff of 45 people with 35 interns and over 300 rotating volunteers to read all that correspondence. Now, the reality is, unless it is an exceptional case, the president is never going to see those letters. And how many of you feel that describes your relationship to God? I mean, he gets billions of prayers a day. He probably doesn't have time to hear mine. And even if he did, I'm not going to hear back. But the Bible tells us of a God that is not like the gods of the other religions. The scriptures reveal that what makes God unique is his propensity to speak. It's what separates God from all the other deities, that this God has a voice and he likes to use it. It's one way that you can know the true God from a false God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. So many people worship a God, little g, who never speaks. Most of the great world religions have a completely impersonal relationship with their deity. There's no record of any interaction with that deity. But that is not the God of the Bible. He seeks regular interaction with his worshipers, and he invites all into this dynamic relationship, not just a few. By the way, that is one of the key signs of a cult. When someone says, some of us get to hear from God, and we will tell you what he says. The rest of you do not hear from God. No, Jesus said, my sheep, not just some, but my sheep hear my voice. This was one of the promises of the Messianic age. Look at Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 30. The latter part of verse 19, we'll jump to verse 21. It says, how gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the God that the scriptures record for you and I. The Bible speaks of a God who speaks. Yet, so many have settled for a relationship with God where it's just a monologue where they do all the talking. But it's like the best that they can hope for is to leave a message on God's voicemail and hope maybe someday God will check it. In fact, some of you have been taught, like I was taught long ago, that since we have the completed canon, the Holy Scriptures, we should expect the silent treatment from God. God doesn't need to speak because he's already spoken. But nowhere in the Bible is a mute God depicted or expected. What the Scriptures consistently reveal is that God consistently reveals himself. A mute God is not biblical. And there is no way a mute God can be personal. You cannot legitimately follow a God whose voice you never hear. Now, last year, some researchers thought they had found the image of Amelia Earhart's plane on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And some of you don't even know the name Amelia Earhart, so let me give you some backstory. 1937, Amelia Earhart attempted to become the first woman to circumnavigate the globe. She took off from Oakland, California, flew across the United States of America, then across the Atlantic Ocean, then across Europe, then across Asia. And 44 days after she had left from Oakland, California, she took off from New Guinea with her navigator, Fred Noonan, for the longest part of her trip, 2,500 miles over the Pacific Ocean, to find a little dot of an island in the middle of the water called Howland Island. For 18 hours, there was no communication. She was not responding to any of the messages that people were sending to her to help her. But finally, there was a voice. It was Amelia Earhart. She said, I must be on top of you, but I can't see you. I'm running low on fuel. 1 hour later, there was another voice. Again, Amelia Earhart, very distraught, describing her situation. And that was the last time that her voice was heard, and she and Mr. Noonan and their plane sank. And what made it even sadder was they went back to New Guinea and they found that bumpy dirt runway that she took off from. And on the ground was the radio antenna receiver that had been jostled off of her plane. And what happened without that antenna is that she was able to send messages, but she could not receive messages. She could talk, but she could not hear. She got no guidance. She got no direction. She got no help. She could send, but she did not receive. And did I just describe how some of you are trying to follow God? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. What I'm going to contend all through this series is this truth, that hearing God's voice is normal and even critical to discipleship. We were created for communion with God. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he would walk with them and they heard the sound of his voice. The Christian life is to be a dynamic relationship with a personal Savior. If it is not, it will not thrive. Will you continue to call someone on the phone that never answers their phone? You'll do that maybe a few times, but you will eventually stop. Will you continue to build a relationship with someone that never talks back to you? You will eventually stop. It is hearing his voice that motivates us to make the choice to keep following him. Now, let me be clear. In the weeks ahead, you're not going to hear anything that is going to diminish the inspiration and the authority of the scriptures as God's word to us. In fact, I think what I'm going to preach will increase your confidence that in scripture you can hear the voice of God. But I want to be clear that the voice of God we hear in our Bible is not limited only to the words of the Bible. Think about it. All the millions of Christians throughout history that never owned a Bible, that couldn't read a Bible, that had never even seen a Bible. And for that matter, if all the direction we now need from God is already in the Bible, why was it so important for Jesus to send us the Holy Spirit? The scriptures say in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." It is, in fact, your capacity to receive direction from the Holy Spirit that testifies that you are a part of the family of God. When you read the book of Acts and the story of the first Christians, it becomes clear that supernatural direction from the Holy Spirit was seen as normal. In chapter 8, a man named Philip at a revival gets a visit from an angel. He's told to go out to a road. He's on that road. And the Holy Spirit says, "Do you see that man from Ethiopia in that chariot? Go up and join him." And Luke just writes that like it's normal. Luke doesn't say, "Now the strangest thing just happened to Philip." In chapter 9, you have a man named Ananias in Damascus, and he hears his name, Ananias. And he turns and he says, "Yes, Lord, do you do that when you hear your name?" And again, it's written like this is just normal for Ananias to expect to hear the voice of Jesus. In chapter 10, we have a Roman soldier named Cornelius. An angel appears to him. It says, "Send off for a man named Peter." So he sends people to the town that Peter's in. Peter actually was up on a roof. And he's getting a vision from God telling him that he should receive these men who are coming to him and that he should go with them. In chapter 16, you have the Apostle Paul. He wants to go up into Asia to plant churches. And it just says the Holy Spirit said, "No." So he says, "Well, then I'll go down to a region called Bithynia and I'll plant churches there." And again, the Holy Spirit says, "No." How did the Spirit say no? We don't know. But apparently, it was very normal. So he goes to a place called Troas. and he goes to sleep and he has a vision. And God says, come over to Macedonia. And the gospel goes to Europe. And again, these and many other examples read simply as normal. This is how the early church operated, constantly hearing the voice of the Lord. So the question that we have to ask as we read the book of Acts, is Acts filled with exceptions to acknowledge, or is it filled with examples to expect? I believe the story of the early church reveals hearing God's voice is normal and critical to discipleship. Many of us grew up in churches that believe that to a point. And here's what I mean. In many churches, you learn very early, even as a child, there are certain phrases that you should use while you're praying. One of them was, I remember this even as a boy, please give our preacher a ready recollection of the things he has prepared. Because evidently, preachers are very forgetful and they need help remembering their sermons. Another phrase at the benediction was to pray to bring us back at the next appointed hour. And a phrase I learned as a boy, because I heard it every Sunday, was that we would ask God to guide, guard, and direct us. And I thought actually that was one word, like maybe a German word or something. You see, it was normal for us on a weekly basis to ask God to give us daily direction. We would sing it too. The old hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Or how about the hymn, he leadeth me, O blessed thought. We'd sometimes sing a hymn, I come to the garden alone. And in the chorus of that song, we would sing the words, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And yet, if someone ever said in my little church, I heard the voice of God this week, we would have been very suspicious. Our view was, if you talk to God, you're a prayer warrior. But if you hear from God, you're a weirdo. Because we didn't hear from God. We did not expect to hear from God. God spoke, and that was it. And we were guilty of allowing our experience to frame our understanding and expectations instead of allowing the scriptures themselves to critique our lack of experience. So I want to be very clear in case you're wondering. Pastor, are you saying that you regularly receive direction from God, that you hear the voice of God, not just inside, but even outside of the Bible? Yes, that is exactly what I am saying. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, why hasn't that been my experience? It's simple. God likes me more than he likes you. Actually, there are a number of reasons why Christians do not hear God. One could be, like me as a young boy, that they did not expect to hear God's voice. One could be that they have never been taught to hear God's voice. And I want to try to address that in this series. But one reason could be they don't want to hear God's voice. The nice thing about a mute God is that you can keep him at a distance. A God that never talks doesn't get up in your business and doesn't expect much from you. But we do have a choice when it comes to which voice we will listen to. And we need to make it. It's a critical choice, and here's why. Because we are shaped most by who we listen to most. And everyone is being formed, either consciously or unconsciously, by the voices that they give the most attention to. A number of pastors that I've talked to in the last few years have recognized this in a very new and profound way, having tried to lead the church through the pandemic, having to deal with racial and political tensions in this country that seems like it's in a powder keg. And seeing how some Christians have actually responded have made us realize that many in our churches are not going to the church or going to the scriptures. They're going to other voices for their daily direction. Let me be very clear. It is impossible to shape people into the image of Christ when he only gets their attention for about 1 hour, about 1.7 Sundays a month. It's impossible. And at this point, you might expect me to be critical of the many ungodly voices that we listen to, but I don't even need to do that. My concern, frankly, is the non-godly voices that we listen to all the time, and they drown out the voice of God. Now, God has an outside voice, and he can use it, but the reality is we choose to fill up our lives with so much ambient noise, and most of the time, God refuses to scream over that to get our attention. You ever notice that the word listen and the word silent use the exact same letters? It's why it says in Luke 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He said to his disciples, "Come away with me to a quiet place." It was the practice of Jesus to go outside of all the surrounding noise so that he could hear from the voice of his Father. Next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. And if you watch the game, you're going to see the quarterback of either team during the game do something like this with his helmet on. What he's doing is he's going to put his hands over the ear holes of his helmet to drown out the noise around him so that he can hear the voice from the radio inside the helmet above him. You see, that voice that's above him is giving him direction and better insight and better plays and better views than he has on the ground. But to hear that voice, he has to drown out all the other voices, because attention requires intention. If getting better at following Jesus is important to you at all, then getting better at hearing Jesus will be imperative to you. And that's why, with all of my heart, I believe that followers of Jesus must intend to improve their hearing. Because listening doesn't happen by default. Every wife knows this. Every parent knows this. Every school teacher knows this. Good listening does not happen by default. It happens by design. Now, Scripture has taught me that God is eager to speak. Life has taught me that being eager to listen is not a place that I just naturally drift to. It is a place I must choose to get to. Many choose to stay deaf to the voice of God, and they just entrust to others the responsibility of hearing God for them. But our rabbi is asking more from us than that. You know, if Jesus says something more than once, it might be important. 15 times Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." It is the most important thing a disciple does. And I know that's a bold statement. I didn't make it. Jesus did. It's the night before Jesus is about to be crucified, and he's at a dinner party with his dear friends Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Martha's getting everything ready, but she's very frustrated. And it says in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, look at how it's phrased, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one." Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Hearing the voice of Jesus is better. And what can you do in your hectic, crazy, busy life that is better than hearing Jesus speak to you? But are you choosing that? You see, hearing is the means. Jesus is actually the goal. Mary didn't want anything from Jesus. She wanted Jesus. He's the treasure. He's the prize. He's the reward. And the thing is, he wants greater intimacy with us than many of us are seeking to have with him. Don't settle for that. I did for over half of my life. I settled for a kind of discipleship where I never actually heard from Jesus. I don't want that for you. Don't settle for anything less than a dynamic, living, listening walk with your rabbi. You cannot have that kind of relationship through someone else. Now, other people can hear Jesus with you, but nobody else can hear Jesus for you. It's got to be your decision and your intention and your passion to choose what is better. So I want to close with one more illustration. And again, I think there's only a few that are going to understand this or even remember this picture. The image up on the screen is from the mid-last century. It was one of the greatest icons in the marketing world for RCA Victory Records. But here's the backstory. That painting was by an English artist named Francis Barad. That little dog's name is Nipper. Nipper belonged to Francis's brother, who was sick. And his brother recorded his voice on some phonograph records. And when he passed, those records and the little dog Nipper became Francis Barad's possession. And when Francis would put those records on his grandma's phonograph, wherever he was, little Nipper would run to that speaker and tilt his head and listen, because he recognized the voice of his master. And by the way, a cat would not do that. And you need to not push back on me, because you know I'm speaking truth. But you can do that. You can learn, wherever you are, to hear the voice of your master. You can decide, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to where I need to be to hear the voice of my master. You can hear the voice of Jesus. And it doesn't mean that you're weird. It means that you're a disciple. So more to say on this later, but right now, I want you to stand up. We're going to pray for improved hearing. I want you to bow your heads. And I know for some of you, this teaching is not new. Some of you have been listening to God for a long time. And I also know for some of you, this is brand new, maybe even intimidating. But we serve a good God, and he wants a relationship with you. So I want you to just take a moment before I pray. And I want you to pray. I want you to just say this simple sentence. Lord, improve my hearing. Take a moment and do that right now. We thank you, Father, that you are the kind of God, unlike the other gods, who will not be distant, who will not stay mute, who wants a real relationship with us. And so help us to improve our hearing, to believe that we can have that kind of relationship with you, that it's good to hear your voice. It teaches us how to recognize when you speak, so we can do what we were created to do and follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.